to Lebanon, defying not only U.S. sanctions, but also its political rivals inside the country, making them look weak and incompetent, as Hezbollah bolsters its image and popularity with the Lebanese people. There are elections coming up soon in Lebanon, and political parties like Jaja's Lebanese forces want to manipulate public opinion against Hezbollah because of their weak standing and the recent political humiliations that they suffered. External actors like the United States, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates have been trying to dismantle Hezbollah for a long time, especially after Hezbollah successfully liberated South Lebanon from Israeli occupation and drove the Israeli invaders back in 2006. The aim of the Tayuni massacre was twofold. One, murdering its supporters to try and provoke Hezbollah into retaliation. The United States, Israel, and Hezbollah's rivals in Lebanon want to paint Hezbollah not as a resistance group, but as some violent armed gang. They want to paint it as an organization that uses violence against its own people so they can try and disarm the group. That way, Hezbollah's political rivals can ascend to power inside Lebanon. The Israelis would no longer face any resistance if they attack or invade Lebanon and Syria. And the United States can go on funding Takfiri terrorists in the region and invading the Middle East with less opposition. So the first aim was to vilify Hezbollah, try and disarm them. The second aim of this massacre was to create sectarian tensions and plunge Lebanon into civil war. Hezbollah and Emel decided not to do either of those things, hence preventing the country from descending into chaos. Let us be clear, everyone has weapons in Lebanon. The difference, however, between the fascist Lebanese forces militia and Hezbollah is that Hezbollah never turns its guns on its own people. It uses them to defend Lebanon from foreign invaders and colonizers. Hezbollah is an integral part of the Axis of Resistance and is allied with Syria, Iran, and the popular mobilization forces in Iraq. So let's examine the events of the past week, because in Syria was bombed twice by Israel and the United States, who struck locations in Homs, south of the ancient, the beautiful city of Palmyra, killing one Syrian soldier and wounding three others. In Afghanistan, two suicide bombers struck mosques in Kunduz and Kandahar during Friday prayers, leaving over 100 people wounded or killed, most of the victims Shia Muslims of the Hazara ethnic minority. And then finally in Lebanon, this tragic massacre with snipers firing at peaceful protesters, again, most of them Shia Muslims and supporters of the resistance. All these things point to a concerted effort by the West and its regional allies to destabilize Lebanon, to provoke sectarian violence and start a civil war. They want to pit Muslims against Christians, Shia against Sunni, and destroy the multi-ethnic, multi-religious fabric of Lebanon. Emel and Hezbollah supporters were specifically targeted by fascists who have a long history of murder, and the mainstream media are trying to downplay this and hide it from them. But this plan of theirs to turn people against one another, to weaken Lebanon's security and weaken the Axis of Resistance, is not going to work. Their intent was clear from the beginning, and this is precisely why Hezbollah and Emel told people not to retaliate. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
There have been approximately 780 men and boys imprisoned at Guantanamo since it opened in 2002. 39 detainees remain at Gitmo following the transfer last month of Abdul Latif Nasser, a 56-year-old Moroccan held there for 19 years without charge or trial. Of those 39 prisoners, 28 have never been charged with any crime. Dear listeners, what you heard was part of an article written by Brett Wilkins, journalist. This article is published under the heading, U.S. Judge Rules Guantanamo Detainees' Imprisonment Illegal. Stay tuned for more. 2 weeks after a review board cleared Guantanamo Bay prisoner Asadullah Harun Gul for release, a federal judge ruled this week that the Afghan's imprisonment by the U.S. military in Cuba for over 14 years without charge or trial is illegal. In a ruling still undergoing classification review, Judge Amit P. Mehta of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia recently granted Gul's petition for a writ of habeas corpus, making him the first Guantanamo detainee in over a decade to win such a case against the government. Mehta ruled that the United States had no legal basis for imprisoning Gul, a 40-year-old militant captured in Afghanistan in 2007 because he was not a member of Al-Qaeda. This is a historic victory for the rule of law and a much-needed reminder to the U.S. government that there are limits on what it may do in the name of national security, Tara Palachi, an attorney for Gul, said in a statement, adding, "I'm hopeful that Asadullah will soon be reunited with his family." While a prisoner at Guantanamo, Gul has been subjected to physical and psychological torture, including being beaten, hung by his wrists, deprived of food and water, and prevented from praying, as well as sleep deprivation, extreme cold temperatures, and solitary confinement, according to the human rights group Reprieve. Mark Maher, a lawyer at Reprieve US, who also represents Gul, said, "We are thrilled for Assad. The federal court has finally affirmed what Assad has known for so long. He should be home with his family, and his detention is unlawful. This is a landmark ruling," added Maher. "For 20 years, successive U.S. administrations have asserted the right to imprison people indefinitely, without charge or trial. Guantanamo was built on the shakiest of legal foundations, and that has never been more clear than it's today." The ruling does not mean that Gul's release is imminent. The Biden administration can appeal the decision and, as the New York Times noted, the U.S. government has argued it has the authority to indefinitely imprison Gul, citing his alleged connections to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and noting the continuation of the 20-year so-called war on terror. However, on October 7th, the Interagency Periodic Review Board, which is tasked with determining whether Guantanamo prisoners pose a security threat to the United States, approved the transfer of Gul, and Sanad Yislam Al-Kazimi, a Yemeni captured in Dubai in 2003 and accused of being one of the slain Al-Qaeda chief Osama bin Laden's bodyguards. There have been approximately 780 men and boys imprisoned at Guantanamo since it opened in 2002. 39 detainees remain at Gitmo following the transfer last month of Abdellatif Nasser, a 56-year-old Moroccan held there for 19 years without charge or trial. Of those 39 prisoners, 28 have never been charged with any crime. Back in Afghanistan, Gul's family cheered news of Mehta ruling. "This is such happy, sweet news for our family. We now pray that Asadullah is sent back home quickly, where he belongs," Roman Khan, Gul's brother, said in a statement, adding, "The family has eyes only to see him again. We are all waiting for him. his wife, his young daughter Mariam, his parents, me, his nieces and nephews. He has spent more than 14 years of his life in this dangerous and terrible prison without charge, added Khan. We are thankful to the judges and to everyone who continue to press for his freedom.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Mystery of Mountains. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Nowadays, it has been confirmed that just as the gravity of the moon affects the ebb and flow of seas, producing high tides twice a day, raising the water level 1 meter or more, and even 15 meters in some parts, it also causes up and down movement of 30 centimeters in the solid crust of the earth. This is what science says. When you notice the erosion of earth, you find that the earth is constantly in the state of erosion. There are things happening under the earth that are not noticeable by us who are walking on the earth, right? But it is happening. Science has proven it today. But the solidity of Earth's crust, due to the existence of mountains, the roots of which are connected to each other, creating a stabilizing network round the Earth, prevents any noticeable movement. So if science is saying that, you know, the Earth is eroding, and we know that, right? It's a common knowledge now. But we are not finding it to be such that we're sitting on a stable earth, right? Everything is stable. How is it all happening? It is happening because of this stable network around the earth which the mountains have created. Subhanallah. Look at Allah's creation. Look at His design. This is mind-boggling and amazing. Thank you. welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are talking and discussing the mystery of mountains. You know, as we are a curious being, all human beings are curious. We sometimes question, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these mountains? You know, just like we think about, you know, sea and rivers and, you know, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them? So today we're trying to explore why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mountains. And apparently it seems like one of the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind the creation of these mountains is giving stability to earth. Despite all the erosion that takes place, despite all the explosions even underneath the earth that take place, despite all the sliding of rocks and stones and you know, other material under the earth takes place, we feel that we are walking on a flat surface which is stable. Isn't that a miracle? So Allah is holding it all together through mountains. One of the wisdoms, it seems like, of creating mountains is this. Just imagine if there were no mountains and earth's crust was not solid and it was in a state of continual flux and reflux. What would happen to our quiet and peace on this earth? This is just another example of Islamic leaders mentioning scientific facts 14 centuries ago, which science has discovered much later. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, has said, "Shaking and movement of the earth is prevented by mountains." Just imagine. Approximately 1400 years ago, Imam Ali alayhi salam informed us about this. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to all on the blessed birthday anniversary of the Seal of Messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Today also happens to be the birthday anniversary of the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. In honor of this day of double blessings, we have selected for you an enlightened statement from the Holy Prophet. "I was sent by God to complete the best of morals."
Congratulations to everyone on the occasion of 17th of Rabiul Awwal, the birth anniversary of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Today is in fact a day of double celebration. We also celebrate the birth anniversary of the sixth infallible successor of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all of our listeners throughout the world on this very auspicious occasion.
Hustle and bustle of modern life has made it difficult to communicate with nature the way humans used to do a few decades ago. Now a giant statue in the state of New York reminds us of the importance of lending an attentive ear to our surroundings. The massive statue named Water's Soul is located along the Hudson River. A woman's head with her index finger pressing on her lips seems she's asking bystanders to maintain silence. It's a work of 66-year-old Spanish artist Juanme Palenza. He says the message of his work is, quote, to call on people to listen to the profound noise of the water talking to us. Water's Soul was made of polyester resin, fiberglass, and marble dust at a Barcelona studio. It was later shipped to his Jersey City site for assembly. The sculpture is 24 meters tall.
You might have heard of Iran's stellar wrestling achievements or about its soccer team, but that's not all. Another sport has grabbed attention too. Golfers now competing during Iran's national golf tournament in Tehran. This year, 90 participants from around the country played on a very unique golf course. It has only 13 holes instead of the standard 18, but that hasn't stopped golf enthusiasts playing the 13 holes and then repeating the last five to complete the tournament. The good news is that the golf course might not stay so small for long. Iran's Golf Federation hopes to bring in more people interested in golf. But for this to happen, the infrastructure must be provided first.
We don't have the space to use the 350 instructors to train the 3,000 registered men and women across the country, so we decided to build a national academy off the golf course. Course number 18 will be used in a competition venue during tournaments and as a training and education venue during non-competition times.
When the course was built decades ago in northern Tehran, it had five more holes. But over the years, fairways were laid across parts of the field, reducing playable footprint. Tehran's golf club has about 300 members, half are women. Golf has been around in Iran for over a century, and most of the courses are in southern provinces. Concerned about endangered animals? If yes, then it will be good news that a Mexican zoo has welcomed a newborn zebra. It belongs to the most threatened of the three species of zebra in the world. The foal made a public appearance Thursday, 10 days after it was born at a zoo in northern Mexico. It's about 50 centimeters tall. Its weight, between 10 to 15 kilograms. The newborn equine raises hopes for the conservation of the imperial zebra species.
We are the only zoo in Mexico that has this species of zebra. Unfortunately, it is an endangered species. Here at the zoo, we are doing everything possible to preserve and produce them so that in the future, we can repopulate some other parks.
The imperial zebra is native to Africa. It is the largest of the wild equids, the family of horses, donkeys, and other animals. Currently, there are less than 2,500 of imperial zebras in the wild. That's blamed on the destruction of their habitat, illegal hunting, and lack of food.
The world's largest Ferris wheel has opened to public in the United Arab Emirates. Dubbed the Dubai Eye, the wheel takes the visitors to a height of 250 meters, feasts their eyes on the city skyline. That is almost double the height of the iconic London Eye and over 80 meters taller than the high roller in the U.S. city of Las Vegas. Each full rotation of the giant structure takes 38 minutes. The city put on a spectacular firework and light display to celebrate the open. The 38th edition of the International Short Film Festival has kicked off in the Iranian capital, with some 63 films from 32 countries competing in the event. The festival has for the first time turned into an Oscar qualifying event, giving winning entries a shot at the Academy Awards. This is being held at Tehran's famous Iran Mall cinema complex, and it will showcase short feature, documentary, and experimental works. 5 Iranian films and 58 from abroad are selected for the grand prize, and the winner will be presented to the Academy for possible Oscar nomination. The jury has members from Iran as well as Italy, Japan, and France. The festival will be running until October 23rd.
Natural disasters often disrupt normal life, but that's not the case with an Indian couple who got married despite their town being submerged by floodwaters. The couple, identified by local media as health workers in Kerala State, managed to reach a temple for the wedding in a giant cooking pot. They could be seen smiling and waving in their ceremonial clothes while two of their relatives were steering the pot. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from the temple, saying that was the only option available. The pair was unwilling to postpone their big day, adding an unforgettable story to a country that is famous for many incredible things. Feeling down? It's all right to cry and get help. That's all what a place called the Crying Room tries to tell its visitors in Spain. The Crying Room is part of a building located in central Madrid. It's free and open to the public. The Crying Room aims to remove the stigma attached to mental health, crying, and seeking help. It offers a wide range of services, from a corner to crying, to a phone with a list of psychologists people can call. Motivating messages are also visible on the walls. People have hailed the initiative, saying it helps them speak out about their negative emotions.
I think it's an excellent idea to visualize the widespread of the mental health issue. And I think it's a really fun take on it, to call it the crying room, because of the Spanish expression, if you want to cry, go to the crying room. So it's kind of stigmatized to cry in Spain, as in many other countries. So I wanted to take part in this this visualization of the problem.
The Crying Room was opened in an effort to raise awareness about mental health and well-being. Official data in Spain showed that around 40% of people had symptoms of depression last year. Another 30% experienced anxiety.
The first movie in orbit in the making. Two Russian nationals who traveled to the International Space Station to shoot scenes of that movie are now back on Earth. The Soyuz MS-18 spacecraft carrying an actress and a film director undocked from the ISS early Sunday and successfully touched down in Kazakhstan about 3 hours later. The film crew, along with a veteran astronaut, blasted off from the Russian leased Baikonur Cosmodrome earlier this month. They spent 12 days in the ISS to shoot the scenes. The mission beats a Hollywood movie project starring Tom Cruise. The mission adds to a long list of firsts for Russia's space industry.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news and more from every corner of the world.
Fabric cuts used to recreate Vietnamese landscapes. A woman living in the capital, Hanoi, has been doing that for 40 years now. The artist, 61 years old, explains what material she uses to create her artworks.
All the details in my artworks are cut from cloth which is used for oyai, traditional costume, or cut from silk scarves. These are very small details, and I have to get the whole cloth for oyai. I even have to cut them from beautiful silk scarves sent from my friends abroad.
Tuk says sometimes hundreds of thousands of pieces of cloth are needed to shape the seams. The cuts should be put together very carefully. Besides that, the woman has to work in a room without any air conditioning, even in the boiling summers of Hanoi. That's because, she says, the pieces of cloth are very tiny and would easily be blown away. Her hard work has paid off. The creations sell for up to $5,000. The Vietnamese artist says her work are a summary of the passion and the beauty she has experienced after traveling across her country.
Materials and methods are vital for an artist who combines them to create a masterpiece. Well, a Brazilian artist has used an unusual material to create a huge, dazzling artwork. Mandano has drawn a mural measuring 1,000 square meters using ashes from the burned Amazon rainforest. The artwork on the side of a building in the city of Sao Paulo depicts a firefighter standing near the scenes of deforestation, blazes, and dead animals. Mandano says he traveled extensively to feel that sadness and, more importantly, to collect ashes from for his paintings. He says his aim is to call attention to the environment in his home country, where thousands of wildfires break out each year.
Be the first to catch the balloon. That's what competitors played to win the title at the first Balloon World Cup in Spain. The competition was held in an amusement park in the northeastern city of Tarragona. Participants had to get the balloon to touch the ground before their opponent could touch it. The event was organized by FC Barcelona player Gerard Piqué and a famous web streamer and commentator.
Get out of your comfort zone and try new things. Today we are very proud to have tried something like that, and that it has worked so well, and that people have enjoyed it. In the end, it's about people having a great time.
The competition was inspired by a trio of American siblings whose balloon game videos had attracted millions of views on TikTok and Instagram. 32 countries competed for the title. An 18-year-old teenager from Peru became the first world champion of this tournament. He defeated his German rival in a 5-minute final match. For those of you with an extreme fear of needles, this may finally be the good news. A group of Dutch researchers say they are working to create painless needle-free injections. The researchers have developed what they call a bubble gun. The device uses a laser to push tiny droplets through the skin. Take a listen to David Fernandez Rivas, the head of the project, explaining how the process is done within a millisecond.
So, within a millisecond, the glass that contains the liquid is heated by a laser. A bubble is created in the liquid, pushing the liquid at velocities on the order of 100 kilometers per hour. And we can see the gelatin, how it penetrates about 1 millimeter approximately.
Now, Rivas says the invention will help ease fear of needles and lower the threshold for vaccinations. He believes the new technology can also prevent the risk of contamination through needles and reduce medical waste. If you're eager to get a needle-free shot, you may still have to wait a few more years before they are made available to everyone.
from a voyage aboard a fictional spacecraft to a real-life journey to space. A 19-year-old Canadian actor, known for his portrayal of a starship captain for decades, is now the oldest person ever going to space. After a couple of days of training, William Shatner hitched a ride aboard a suborbital spacecraft on Wednesday. He took off from a Texas desert as a guest alongside three other passengers, two professionals, and a paid customer. During the 10-minute flight, the team experienced more than 3 minutes of weightlessness. Now, listen to the actor describing the voyage as the most unbelievable experience of his life.
I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. It's extraordinary. I hope I never recover from this. I hope that I can maintain what I feel now. I don't want to lose it.
During a televised journey, the capsule took its four passengers above the maximum altitude of 100 kilometers, a point where the curvatures of the Earth can be seen. With that, the space captain of the entertainment world also broke a record as the oldest space traveler. Now, many see his experience as the embodiment of the space travel promises he made through decades of acting. The population of giant pandas in captivity has reached a record high of 673 in 2021. Official data shows this year 48 panda cubs were born, of which 46 survived. Meanwhile, the total number of overseas giant pandas has reached 69. This is the result of joint efforts by Chinese and foreign researchers following decades of caring for the lovely animals. In July, another study put the number of giant pandas living in the wild at over 1,800. The cute bears were then reclassified from endangered to vulnerable. Experts believe such research improves conservation efforts and facilitates monitoring of animal populations.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. So welcome to this episode of today's special because today is really a special day. Today is the birthday anniversary of Prophet of Allah Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and of course the birthday anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Sunday, is the 17th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we express our congratulations on this great Eid birthday anniversary of Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and birthday anniversary of Imam As-Sadiq, Shia's sixth Imam. Ceremony of giving a name to the Prophet of Islam. The seventh day approached. A sheep was slaughtered by Abdul Muttalib as an expression of gratitude to Allah, and a number of persons were invited to the feast. In that magnificent celebration, which was attended by most of the Quraysh, he gave his grandchild the name Muhammad. When it was inquired from him as to why he had named his child Muhammad, while his name was very rare amongst the Arabs, he replied, "I wish that he should be praised in the heavens as well as on earth." Husaynab Thabit says thus in this regard, "The Creator delivered the name of his prophet from his own name. As such, whereas Allah is Mahmud, laudable, his prophet is Muhammad, that means praiseworthy. Both the words have been derived from the same root and carry the same meaning. It is certain that a cold inspiration had a part to play in the selection of this name, because although the name Muhammad was well known amongst the Arabs, very few persons had till then been given this name, according to the exact statistics which some of the historians have collected. Only 16 persons had been given this name before the Holy Prophet.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Prophet Muhammad was such a considerate person that such that he started speaking just when it was necessary. And this point was related and indicated by Imam al-Husayn al-Salam on the authority of his father, Imam Ali al-Salam. The Prophet Muhammad was very much decent. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, who was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, indicated that the Prophet was very much decent, such that when he didn't like anything, it was evident from his complexion. At the same time, the Prophet Muhammad was a simple person, simple in the sense that he used to live a very simple life. He used to sit on the ground, he used to have food and meals with his servants and companions, and he was very much considerate about his companions. If he found one of his companions to be absent for just a few days, he used to ask about that person. And this point indicates that the Prophet Muhammad used to be very considerate about everybody. The Prophet Muhammad wasn't that much extravagant in his life, and he was such a personality that he weighed everything, and his decisions were the best decisions. The Prophet Muhammad was very much polite, even in wartime. During one of the battles, someone started abusing the enemy soldiers, and then the Prophet Muhammad prohibited that companion from abusing enemy soldiers, because it wasn't a polite act. And nowhere else can we find any dignitary more polite than the Prophet Muhammad, because in wartime and in the stressful situations, usually people seldom behave so politely. But in the Prophet Muhammad wasn't such a person to forget that his job and career was educating other people. Hence, being polite was of utmost importance in his conduct and in his teachings. Thank you.
أنت نور الله فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الله.
Prophet Muhammad is the source of unity among all Muslims. Dear brothers and sisters, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio on an auspicious Eid, birthday anniversary of the noble Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him. In his final sermon, Prophet Muhammad said that every Muslim was a brother or a sister to every other Muslim. Together, we constitute one ummah, a community, or perhaps a fellowship of people who believe, who assert the kalima, acknowledging the oneness of our Creator and the prophethood of Muhammad. Muslims all over the world often this concept of a single ummah that believes in the same Creator and which collectively feels the happiness and pain of every individual within it. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad leads us to unity, to our Creator, who is Al-Wahid, that means the unique, and Al-Ahad, that means the one. In doing so, he also leads us to unity within the Ummah, amongst its diverse people, languages, and cultures. Thus, the Ummah is not only a theological concept, it is our praxis, our way of life. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims, congratulations to all of you on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Prophet of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and birthday anniversary of Imam As-Sadiq, alayhi salam. You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Imam Sadiq is in training students. In order to train his students, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, made the most out of the time when there was no dictatorship and cruelty, because the Abbasids and the Umayyads were in political conflicts with one another over power. In doing so, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam followed in his father's footsteps. The school established by Imam Baqir alayhi salam was expanded by Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Some of these students were so advanced and well-trained that they were the pivots of their fields. For example, Hisham ibn Hakam wrote 31 books, and Jabir ibn Hayyan authored more than 220 books on various subjects. Imam Sadiq's students were not limited to Shias. Rather, Sunnis also benefited from his knowledge. Many well-known Sunni leaders were directly or indirectly the Imam's students. Foremost among these leaders is Abu Hanifa, who studied under the Imam for 2 years. He talked of these 2 years as the foundation of his knowledge, saying, had it not been for those 2 years, Abu Hanifa would have been destroyed.
Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, he was the Umayyad Khalifa, Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, he had ordered, he's in Damascus, he's in Sham, but he had ordered his governor, who was Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, the governor of Medina, who later on he became Khalifa as well. He ordered Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz to renovate Masjid al-Nabi, to renovate the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So the Muslims were renovating the Masjid of the Prophet. They were expanding it. Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, he does Hajj and he comes to Medina. He's getting a tour by Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, the governor of Masjid al-Nabi and the renovation project. They enter into the Masjid and they see that there's a class in session. And this is what a Masjid is supposed to be. A Masjid is not just a place to pray. And the one Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. And there are many students sitting in front of the Imam. And Imam al-Baqir, he stops teaching when Al-Walid enters. Then Al-Walid, he hears that this is not a normal class. He's not talking about Quran. He's not talking about Hadith. He's talking about something very strange. So he tells him, continue. I want to listen to what you're teaching. And then he tells him, what is this knowledge? I've never heard anyone talk about this. So Imam al-Baqir, he tells him, إِنَّهُ عِلْمٌ يَتَحَدَّثْ عَنِ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالشَّمْسِ وَالنُّجُومِ. Imam al-Baqir is talking about the earth and the skies and the sun and the stars. So this is an astronomy class, a geography class, a geology class. These are all the subjects that the Imam is talking about. So Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik was shocked. And then he sees a young child sitting in the class. A young child who's younger than all of the other students. The other students, they're old men. So he tells him, he tells Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who is this young child? He tells him, Hada Ja'far ibn Muhammad. This is Ja'far al-Sadiq. So he says, does he understand what's being said? Because I don't understand what's being said. The class is very sophisticated. So he tells him, the son who understands more than everyone else. Sometimes it's just the father and the son, they're talking to one another in the class. So then he calls Imam Sadiq, he calls the child. He wants to test him. He tells him, what's your name? He says, Ismi Ja'far. My name is Ja'far. And then he tells him, أَتَعْلَمْ مَنْ كَانَ صَاحِبُ الْمَنْطِقِ. Do you know who is the one who innovated and started the subject of mantiq, the subject of logic? So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he replies, he says, كَانَ أَرَسْتُ مُلَقَّبًا لِصَاحِبِ الْمَنْطِقِ لَقَّبَهُ إِيَّاهُ تَلَامِذَتُهُ وَأَتْبَاعُهُ. He says, Aristotle was صاحب المنطق, the one who innovated and started the subject of logic. His students gave him that title. On the real mantiq, you come to us, the Ahlul Bayt. But this is, he acknowledged that Aristotle was a scholar and his students gave him that title. And then he tells him, he asks him a trick question. He tells him, من هو صاحب المعز? Who is the one who is the owner of the ma'z? Ma'z is a goat. So Imam Sadiq, he says, this is not a name of a person, but this is a constellation. You know, right now, if you look at the stars, you see there's shapes of a goat or a Taurus or these things. So the Imam, he knows about that. He tells him, this is not a name of a person, this is a constellation. And then he tells him, هَلْ تَعْلَمْ مَنْ هُوَ صَاحِبُ السُّوَاكِ? Who is the one who is... He's given the title, Sahib al-Suwak, the one who carries the Suwak. Miswak or the toothbrush, the wooden toothbrush of the Prophet. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he tells him, هو لقب عبد الله بن مسعود صاحب جدي رسول الله. He is the companion, it is the title of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion of my grandfather, Rasulullah.
Offer our congratulations on birthday anniversary of last Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi salam. That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters on the birthday anniversary of Prophet of Islam and Imam al-Sadiq. Peace be upon them all.
Mustafa, anta al-Nabiyul Amin, wa Sayyidul Mursaleen, rahmatan lil alamin, jitta bil haqqil yaqeen. Anta al-Nabiyul Amin, wa Sayyidul Mursaleen, rahmatan lil alamin. Thank you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.